out today. We are starting our work meeting for the Harriman City Council. First item is going to be a review of this evening's agenda. Are there any questions or concerns or anything about the agenda today?
Well, if I tell you, it's just like I say, for your mayor, is when we have a Harriman show up that we reorder the work meetings to where coming at his time.
Absolutely. And I think we're all agreeing with that.
If I get to my updates on the rest of my updates, great. We don't get to it. Okay. Always have the fun stuff on board.
Okay. Are there any future agenda items that we'd like to have, the council would like to bring to a future meeting?
I just have a question, and I'm not sure exactly when to bring these up, but there was three things I wanted to make sure that were discussed.
Okay.
I don't know if these should be future items or not. One is the 900 acres of the county. I want to make sure
yes,
we're being successful on there. That, and I just want to make sure we're on schedule to make sure we have good representation during the public hearings and things like that. And all the legal background as far as what our rights are, what our rights are, that type of stuff. I did talk with John a little bit about that. And then I need to do some follow-up on the June Houston Road, just the different conversations I've had and things like that. And then just some questions. I'll talk about the garbage thing when we flip that presentation, but tell me when is it appropriate to have that now, or do we put them on for agenda?
So then we decide if we have a majority that we want to bring it back on. So that you're bringing that forward, and then I am completely comfortable with bringing those, you know, forward on a future agenda and soon. I mean, like the next meeting. So.
I agree. And that came up last meeting. We started on our agenda for the next meeting.
Good.
So
great.
It's already slotted in.
Okay, the Houston slash Gina, because I have more.
Gina and Houston.
Perfect. So, but the 900 acres
well,
is also very.
We're all writing it down. So, and then the third one you do bring up from the.
It's about today. So.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right.
Real quick question. Just in terms of our next meeting, did we are the 14th, right?
Today's the 14th.
The 28th. And
correct.
Then any plans or need right now, is it staff foresees of any additional work
That's,
meetings?
I'm going to cover that in the CM, but we can discuss it since you brought up. The 28th meeting is actually pretty heavy, what we're seeing, and we are suggesting, instead of your request, these gave us a start meeting, a weekly meeting, and it was actually going to start next week. So we're tentatively thinking about next Wednesday night to do a work meeting. We're having our council meeting, depending on how much we need to cover. So it's really your choice if you can attend that. Otherwise, we'll just stay heavy on the 28th.
Can we see the agenda on the 28th?
We have, the 28th, the work meeting right now, we have capital projects, legislative wrap-up, Tammy. The Harriman Promise is actually coming, in the general meeting. The deer mitigation update, the general plan update, USU study update, and the zero waste has already been done in this one. That's in the wood meeting. And they're all.
There was a hillside update as well and a budget review. So those were all coming in. And
what if we did, just out of, you know, so that the meetings aren't long, what if we pulled the legislative update to a work session for the very reason that I don't necessarily want
you to. That is
already.
No, I mean on a new meeting. So pull it off the 28th. So that's one item I'm suggesting could possibly come off and move forward.
Yeah, there wasn't much wins this year, so it's easy to.
I will check, because
we got to check to see.
Chris gave us a date that he could come.
That's right.
Our lobbyist.
He wanted to be there.
No, I want to do
one.
The deer mitigation can be moved. I talked to DWR and they'd like to come and they can't make it that night, so it can move to another night.
So we can move the deer mitigation one
until April. And a meeting in April.
And then during the general meeting we have, help me if I'm wrong, Jackie and Gordon, Tammy, we all track all this from the previous meetings in our agenda meeting. The reports, presentation, appointments of Utah chapter, ICC presentation, Gordon. Or Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Or Catherine.
And the consent agenda is going to be monthly financial summary, discussion of actual items, So actually, the general meeting was like showing a lot, so we're gonna move the Herman Promise Group about the community center to do it during the general meeting.
Yeah, okay.
So that'll be part of that. So we have, actually, you know, Gordon might have, it probably is as heavy as we had thought.
Well,
I think you're gonna see a couple of things.
Yeah, this is one, we still have some more updates to do on this one as well, but.
So let's name them out.
The engineering standards is going to be significantly linked for a couple of reasons. We've changed the code last year, and the state legislature's been beating up cities and making poster child of cities that go slow and don't get things through. We can attest from the planning commission that they want to have more detailed information from the developers, and so we put a much more robust upfront requirement of developers to bring a bunch of stuff before it gets to the planning commission. So at the very crust of getting beat up by the legislature because of this, we are now enacting this, and we wanted the council to really understand what we're talking about. So that's going to be, should be a healthy discussion, where you'll just think we're really bright and we won't have much discussion once it's adopted. The other things we think are going to be fairly significant is the legislative update. Oh, and also we were putting on that agenda was the Gina. Well, we initially just wanted to go over Gina, but our McHouston, we can do Gina and McHouston. And we think that's going to be a fairly lengthy discussion in of itself. So generally, we have 2 hours. Both of those things could take most of that time. These other items and a few other items that we're going to add, I think, would make the 28, you know, a 2-3-4 hour work meeting.
Well, why don't we just set up another work meeting, and let's just
that's
see how it goes.
21st. So yeah. What we're suggesting is
and then
next
decide
Wednesday.
What you want.
Yeah, we could always say, oh, we Wednesday. Don't have enough.
Okay. So if the council's good with the 21st, we will bring 2 or 3 of the very longest items to the 21st.
Okay.
If you disagree to us, then it'll be very short meetings, and then we'll just move right on. If you don't agree, we'll still be short if you just sell
them. Bring the longest and most painful items to that meeting. So.
Make sure there's more.
21st at 5?
So this discussion, usually work meetings are good to start at 5.
Or just a little bit later.
6 o'clock is perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially since that's all we're doing, 6 o'clock sounds great.
6 o'clock.
Go home and get some 6 on
the
21st.
That's
what
we're doing.
Right?
Just
the delay before.
Okay. 6 is great.
6 is great.
Just let Jackie know. 6 o'clock.
So
6
we.
O'clock on the 21st.
Oh, she got it.
As we stated earlier, we're going to go ahead and just reorder the agenda just a little bit. To move one of the city manager updates up forward to discuss about solid waste. So,
this is Jeremy, the last name?
Roberts.
Okay.
Maybe we'll just let Jeremy, maybe if you'll just take a few minutes to introduce yourself and then talk to us about
it. Do you have a presentation?
I do. He's.
Give it to Alan.
So, maybe introduce yourself and then we'll lead into your.
Fantastic. So my name is Jeremy Roberts. I've lived in Utah for about 15 years, and I've been involved in investment banking and venture capital for a while. And about 6, 7, 8 months ago, I came across a company in Germany and thought they were kind of a fantastic fit for Utah. So I'm trying to recruit them to come to Utah and want to see if you guys want to help me play a role in that.
And the beauty of this, if I can just add to this, the whole idea of limited land, we all know what we're dealing with in terms of limited land, so landfills are just simply not a sustainable option for any state, certainly not for Utah, and so everybody is or should be looking at alternatives for waste management. When I worked in Sandy, one of those options that we were looking at was zero waste, where all of your trash is converted to energy. That was with a company called Navitas. So the technology that they were touting has been used in other countries for decades, successfully for a long time. So the technology is there. This is a very, and Jeremy will walk us through this, I'm a similar-ish type technology, but certainly one that's functioning well, and hence Jeremy's idea is to see if we can be the first to bring that into Utah and solve what's going to inevitably be a big problem for the state.
And just on top of that, we are also currently suffering from an issue of trying to deal with where are we going to put our trash when the county closes the transfer station. And so we are in a situation where our rates are going to go up unless we find some sort of an alternate solution. So we're looking for an opportunity that may possibly result in lower fees for our residents.
And the other benefit that Jeremy will talk about is there's also potential, in addition to solving a, just an environmentally pressing problem, but also some injection of revenue into our city as well. So with that,
go for it.
Great. So the thing about Herhoff, Herhoff was started in Germany in 1996. They are a several billion dollar company. They're traded on several countries' stock exchanges. And so the first thing you should know about them is that they are a very successful, very large, and good company. So this isn't something where somebody's a startup, or they have an unproven technology, or they need money. They're not even asking for go-ahead money, which is kind of a strange deal. So if we can go to the next little slide thing. What they do is, imagine for a moment a building about the size of a Costco. What happens is a garbage truck will take the garbage to this building about the size of a Costco and dump their garbage there. As soon as that happens, they shred it. Now, here's the crazy part about it. Their shredders can shred an engine block from a car. They can shred tires. They can shred just about anything you can possibly imagine. When you guys have heard about plastic bags from like Walmart and other stores and about what a big problem they are, not for Herhoff. They've been doing it for a very long time. So the other benefit about Herhoff is you don't need to separate your trash ever again. There's no more of this having 12 garbage cans and whatnot. As a matter of fact, they prefer that you don't sort your garbage, and I'll explain why in a second. So as soon as the trash comes into the facility and they shred it, they put it into dryers. And the dryers are about 400 feet long and about 60 feet across and about 80 feet deep. And they pump air through the trash to dry it completely. And they do what's called, they digest it essentially. They capture the methane from digesting it, and they actually generate electricity from the methane. After they've digested and dried the trash, it goes into, it gets mechanically separated. They're able to separate plastic by color and glass by color. They can separate ferrous and non-ferrous metals. So 100% of what is able to be recycled does get recycled. If you've been paying attention a lot to the news right now, you know that there's a big problem with recycling where like San Francisco isn't recycling anymore. And if you look at your own cities, a lot of the materials that are getting recycled end up in the landfill anyway. Something that's different about Herhoff is they're not sending everything to China. They have 20-year forward future contracts. So, for example, their plastic, because they're separated by color, their biggest client is Lego. So they send all their plastic to Lego, and they've got 20-year contracts to provide all of their plastics to Lego. The glass gets separated by color, which makes it more valuable. They have 20-year contracts with people for it. If anyone here is a fan of Chip Foose, his rims are made with aluminum from their recycled aluminum from their facilities in Germany. Herhoff right now is recycling and actually processing the trash for about 70% of land, of all of the trash in Germany. They have 18 facilities, 16 of which, or 14 of which are in Germany themselves. So the neat part about this is 100% of the residents of the city will recycle. Whether they want to or not, it doesn't matter. If they throw trash away, it gets recycled. So that's that. You can go to the next slide really quick. So this is one of their facilities, what it kind of looks like. And they have six plants in this area that this is about. This presentation was done for a specific little area. If you want to go to the next one. So here's what happens. The trash comes into the facility, and those are the. That's basically what happens. So the trash goes in, and they're able to recover stuff. So the condensing materials are going to be about 30% of the trash. The metals are about 5%. The inerts and glass are about 12%. And then stablet's about 53%. I'll talk about stablet in a second. You can go to the next slide. So this is kind of what happens. So if you look at the very top, the trash comes in. It goes to the drying station. After it's dried, it gets separated mechanically. And then they produce what's, again, called stablet. And we'll talk about that in 1 second. You can go to the next one as well. And this is, again, the same thing about how they separate their trash. And you guys can take a look at this more for the scientific outlook. You can go to the next one as well. So, again, that's one of their facilities. You can go to the next one as well. And
can we have a clicker?
Sorry. And that's about the size of Costco.
Here's the neat part about this. Because this is completely and totally internal, there is no smell. There is no dust. They actually keep the air all inside their facility. Nicole's actually been there and she's seen it, and they don't have flies on their trash. think through that really quick. I mean, that's how clean this place is.
And to smell it, you had to actually walk inside. I mean, it's really quite amazing. So it's not something that is like a landfill.
And that's because of the composting and the way that they digest the garbage. So those are the drying boxes right there. You can see the big, huge arm that moves it. It looks like something out of a James Bond movie. And then this, again, is where they vent out and they dry their trash. And then we can just kind of go through this. So that's where they separate right there. You'll notice it's all covered. The dust and everything else stays inside. So you actually don't have dust and debris and everything flying out all over the place. And if you've been out past South Lake, where your trash right now is slated to go, which, by the way, enjoy paying for that. And you've got those big, huge walls that look like they're supposed to keep Tyrannosaurus Rexes from Jurassic Park inside. That's to keep stuff from blowing all over the place. We don't need to do that. The other nice part about it, too, is they actually clean up landfills. The company right now has a contract to put one of these facilities in Tooele County, and they're negotiating with the legislature right now to actually clean up the landfill where the new prison site's going to be. So originally the legislature had budgeted $250 million to bury it, and Harehouse said, well, instead of burying it, how about you don't pay anything and we'll come in and just get rid of it? And that's what they're doing.
Because they need a certain amount of trash.
Yeah, so they need, for their facilities to function, they need about 90,000 tons of trash. We're working with Sandy City right now, Draper City, and you as well. And what we would hopefully have happen is either the company would buy the transfer station and then take the stuff to the facility in Tooele, or they can just take the stuff directly from here to Tooele. But the benefit is that, one more thing about these guys, they lock in your tipping fees for 20 years. So your tipping fees do not go up for 20 years. Whatever they currently are, they will put in contract that they stay that way for 20 years.
And just to clarify, a tipping fee is...
I think yours is like, what, 20 bucks?
No. What is a tipping fee?
Oh, every time you tip, garbage is per ton. But what's your tipping fee? You know?
22 per ton.
Is it 22?
$22 per ton?
Yeah, so you would lock that in for 20 years. It would not go up at all, period.
Which is our biggest moving target for our employment with the district.
No.
It keeps bumping up, bumping up.
Absolutely. The other thing, too, is that they're not looking for any investment capital from the city at all. All they'd like to have is a guaranteed waste stream. So they would ask you just to say, sure, we'll let you send the trash to you instead of sending it to the current dump that you're going to. Now, the other thing, too, is that the company does a revenue split. So with all the recyclables, with everything that they create, they actually bring money back to the communities. And here's the funny thing is, this company sounds almost too good to be true, and I thought it was. So I took some people from different cities. We've taken members of the Tooele County Council, some legislators, and we toured the facilities. We've met with the company in their offices, and they're coming in. And so the idea is to send as much of our trash there as possible. As we're talking about this, one kind of important thing to consider is, by the time they're done, there is literally nothing to put into a landfill. Nothing goes to a landfill. There's nothing left.
Do you have a percentage, like it's 1% overall, or
0%?
We'll
talk about this. So after that goes through and it sorts out all the ferrous and non-ferrous metals, and it goes through and it sorts everything out, it keeps going through. This is the separation. They take batteries down to AAA and sort them out, and they recycle AAA batteries. And they recharge them and are able to actually recycle them, and they're doing it right now. So this is called stablet, and this is why they have nothing to take to a landfill. After everything's said and done, the dust and the few things that are left, they actually take it and they put it into a pellet that looks like that right there. They take it, and if you guys have ever seen the wood pellet stoves that people have in their garage, or down in their house and in their homes, think of that on steroids. So this stablet right here, they take to coal-burning power plants. And later on in the slides, you'll see this burns significantly warmer and creates more BTU and more power than coal does, but it's cleaner and produces less pollution than natural gas. And so if you look at, you can Google this right now, about how Germany is actually importing trash from separate countries because they're making so much money off of this. Literally, off of this, So they're actually off of coal, and they're burning this. And the coal-burning power plants, so if you look at Delta, where they're thinking about converting the power plant to natural gas, if we have enough electricity, they wouldn't have to do that. They could burn this, and it's a renewable resource, and it burns cleaner than natural gas and produces more electricity. And so they have people who are trying to buy this like crazy. This is their biggest profit center right there, is the fuel. And that is where all the trash goes that cannot be recycled. So literally, there is nothing that they cannot recycle or burn. There's nothing left to put into a landfill. So right here, this is the composition of the landfill, or sorry, of the stablet, which you guys can look at later. But if you look at the calorific value of it, the drier it is, the better it burns. But this is the value in terms of BTU of it. So it's about 7,800 BTU per pound, which hard coal, which is different than the coal that we're using right now. But it, in terms of hard coal, which we don't have in Utah, we've got a different type of coal. But this is actually exactly where our quote-unquote clean burning low sulfur coal is. The trash right here, again, this kind of goes through a little bit about the recyclables, and this is the heavy metal reduction in the air and the energy recovery. Also, one more thing that's interesting is if you guys look at ash from coal-burning power plants, you can't use that as road base. We really wish you could because it's so fantastic. The problem is it's considered a hazardous waste, not this stuff. When they have their ash that's left over, you can use it as road base, so even that gets used. Which is incredible. So this right here is the CO2 emissions from using the stablet. If you look at brown coal, hard coal, the fuel oil, natural gas, it is less than half of what natural gas's CO2 output is from burning it. And so, anyway, that's kind of a little bit about the company itself. And so the company would like to invite anyone from the city who would like to come out and tour their facilities in Germany.
City staff and city council.
Whoever you'd like to have there.
Not city residents.
No, not residents, unfortunately.
Sorry, just...
No,
just,
that would be actually kind of cool. We'd have a lot of fun.
Jeremy, could you I know when we were considering this technology in Sandy, the one phrase that always comes up, which I would love you to touch on, because it's the one that creates the most concern for citizens when they don't understand the technology, is that this is a burn plant. Or a burn facility.
They don't incinerate anything.
So, and that needs to be really, really clear because
yeah.
That continued to come up during all of our process. This is completely different.
Yeah, so in this case, the company does not incinerate anything. If you go back and look, I apologize for going so fast on this. If you go look at the plant itself, it actually lacks the capacity to incinerate anything. Those two big, huge towers coming off of there, that is steam. There are two sensors on there, and that steam is literally pure. There's not any heavy metals. There's nothing in it. The standards in Germany are significantly higher than they are for the EPA. So actually in Germany, the government is monitoring those sensors. It's not the company itself. And they actually shut down their plant if they actually exceed the allowable pollution. They don't have any. The company literally, it shreds the trash, it sorts the trash, and then it sells the recyclables, and then whatever's left, it ships off to coal-burning power plants. That's it.
So I do have a question. Because I'm all about the transfer stations, and you think about, so it sounds like the company's pretty committed to going to Twilla County. Is that right?
Well, right now it is. I mean, we could put it somewhere else if we wanted to.
I just think about trucking, and when you do a transfer station, you're dumping, you're reloading. That trucking around Twilla right now is a 45-minute trip from Harriman.
And they would cover that cost, just so you know.
I understand that. But I'm still more concerned about if we want to start being so clean in energy, why would we put another truck that dumps emissions in there right now?
We're saying is you might be open to looking at a facility here.
Sure. The only difference is, do you know what your city produces for trash annually? How many tons?
It would be us. We belong to a West Central Front.
Sure.
Recycle. I don't know what.
Sure is talking now.
But that's the buy-in. They have a board, but each city, because they've all that district, is part of that board. Sherry actually serves on that board right now. And sounds phenomenal. And it is what we need, actually. The transfer station and landfills right now in our Salt Lake County Valley are big problems.
See, the dream scenario for me, what I would like as a citizen is, I'd like to have a facility put right next to the landfill at Transjordan and have all the trash go there, and then I'd like to get rid of the Transjordan landfill. You'll be paying into perpetuity to maintain that and just to hold it. Why? Instead, let's extract the methane and let's get rid of the landfill and recycle the trash.
I'm surprised when the state of Utah was not running at this, because what's the risk? The try it.
Well,
no
risk.
No, as a matter of fact, they're capitalizing this themselves. They're not asking for anything.
Risk on, they want us to say, yeah, we're in. So.
And I would say that's why Councilman Martin and myself have been so eager to have this presentation, is because what is bad about this? You know, we don't have any risk. It means cleaner air. You know, and that's always a thing we're looking for. It means a possible revenue stream back. Can you talk just a little bit more about the how
revenue
the
share?
Yes, so they do a 50-50 revenue split off of all recyclables.
So based on our tonnage that we bring in and the amount they produce, they 50% of whatever we put in for recyclables, that money comes back to the city.
It does.
And one
are
discussion
they
we've had.
Making a profit on the recyclables?
They are, because they've got 20-year future forward contracts. So they're a little different. If you look at most people who aren't making money, they're trying to ship it to China.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's not that there's not a market for recyclables. It's not a market for example, like plastic. If you don't sort it by color, there is no market. There is no value.
But you normally have to sort it by type as well.
Which they do as well. They sort by color and type. So depending on which kind of plastic it is.
Different types can't go together.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do that. They sort it. Both by type and by color.
So I'm excited as city manager, because I understand the issues I've been involved with Wasatch Front since the nexus of that group in Sauk County. We need to go around and spread this word and spend some time with them and their board, because I'm thinking I would not want to enjoy the county as adding more trucks going around and pouring the mountain down there and that waste of fuel and all that. Idea of what do you call that product? The pellet?
The stab lit?
Yeah. It's definitely a German name. But with that said, that's phenomenal. Very good follows what we're doing in cogeneration plants and stuff like that with natural gas and coal fired during electricity. The articles right now, our demand for electricity is going up because of all a bunch of cars and everything else.
Absolutely.
It's a phenomenal idea.
Nicole, did you go see when they make the fertilizer?
Mm-hmm.
So the plant. So they also make a compost as well.
So I'd be interested in seeing all those things, and then also go to a plant that's actually burning pellets and see what their numbers are saying, how much it saved them in cost in operating it, and if it burns that clean. Here again, if you got a big turbine that's making that electricity, or if it's that clean, it's saving mechanical wear.
Well, that they actually, they're willing to come and actually build a plant that burns the stab lit on site.
It's crazy what numbers could be.
Well, the thing is too is I think to your point about it being a risk.
I don't even know.
Well, no, the thing is neither do I. But the difference is that I'm sure you guys get pitched 1,000 different ways about companies that can come in and solve this problem and that.
Mm-hmm.
This company is dealing with 70% of the trash in Germany, and they've been doing it for over 20 years. This is a little different than live in my mom's basement and I've got this idea.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is that, like I said, they would love to invite you out to come see their facilities and go tour them. But the dream scenario for me would be everyone's encroaching on the landfill. I don't know if it's got like 10 years left, something like that.
It's
supposedly.
10 to 15.
It's short.
Well, that's the thing, though. Not only can we not make that an issue and not invest the hundreds of millions of dollars in a new cell at the landfill over by Utah Lake, instead, we can just get rid of that landfill altogether and you guys make revenue off of that. And have your trash go there from now on. And the thing is, when you go tour these facilities, I mean, there's literally no smell, there's no noise, there's no light pollution.
I want to touch on something that you just mentioned real quick. You talk about getting rid of the other facilities. I don't think we've quite explained that. They actually go into the landfill and mine the trash. So they're taking the trash out of the ground that has been there for decades, and they're putting it through their facility to make sure that they are reclaiming.
Yeah, so there's 7 landfills in Germany that don't exist anymore. They're now parks and apartment buildings. And
don't say that word here.
Sorry.
They're parks.
You guys love high density housing out here. Anyway, but
they reclaimed 7 landfills.
Uh-huh. And they're completely gone. And they test the soils, and there's nothing left over in the soils.
Yeah, I don't want to get down the part out in the trash or weeds, but when they do a landfill, you know, they go so much and they put a layer of dirt and they put a layer of trash and dirt. That's changed the process to sift that out.
Here's what happens, and actually Nicole got to see that. What they do is that dirt, they run through their system and they seal it for road base.
Okay.
Because after they shred it and it has rocks and stuff in it, they shred and it becomes road base. And they actually are already doing that in Germany right now.
Comes out of engineered field.
And that's just, it's proven technology.
What other cities did you say you at least?
So or I had lunch with Draper City, Sandy City, and Harriman ones I've only approached.
Yeah.
We talked to Twill, and one of the, I think they probably put a plant in both places, because if they clean up the landfill at the Salt Lake City Airport, it probably would make sense to have something a little bit closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's that landfill's been there literally since Brigham Young was alive. So
yeah,
I agree. Just from the size of the
And you know the other concern I have is that again your city is going to be paying for that Transjordan landfill forever. That doesn't go away even if we stop using it. Why not just let them take it over?
So what does city staff need from us to move forward? What do you need from us to move forward? Oh, go ahead.
First of all, did you guys talk about it at Sandy when you were up there
yes.
before? And can you tell me the drawback about why you didn't move forward on it, or was there
November?
Call elections.
Elections.
It was just time. Still bitter. Still too soon. Well, we were, as I mentioned, we were talking with another company for 2 years, 2+ years,
uh-huh.
prior to Jeremy and Herhoff coming in and speaking with us. That was a company that didn't have, like this one does, 2 decades worth of proven use of that. The technology itself is proven, but it was in all of that 2 years of talk. And they were looking to get approvals from the EPA. I mean, they had to work through a process, and it was slow and laborious, and it was not working. And at the end of the day, we just decided to part ways. So it wasn't that we didn't believe in the technology. It's that the partnership with that particular company just broke down. That being said, we all left friends, and we all wanted still to have a technology that solved the sustainability of trash problem.
Yeah, and they're actually, their process was a little bit different, and the company was different. This company is also quite a bit different as well. So the company that wanted to go into Sandy City, they thought that their facility was going to cost over $100 million. That facility cost $27 million, and they paid cash for it.
Okay.
And so they're not, and by the way, this is very important to understand. They do not want tax money. They do not want, like, economic development money. They don't want you to give them the land for free. They'll come in and they'll buy it. And so
I don't see how we can support this.
Yeah, I know, right? And here's the thing is, now, keep in mind, I've been involved helping our legislature with stuff for about 15 years, and every time somebody comes in, it's always, okay, great, how much money do they want from the taxpayers? They don't want any.
They're not asking for any.
They're actually willing to give us money back for our trash.
So you envision it that the city would be responsible for gathering the garbage?
The way that you currently gather the trash doesn't change?
So we would just deliver it to your facility?
Instead of this landfill.
And lock in a 20-year tipping
fee. What about residents? Do they have the ability in
Absolutely.
These facilities to?
Absolutely, they can. And by the way, they don't care about like having big fees for it, because they make so much money off the recyclables and the trash that they actually encourage it. Oh, and by the way, the other thing too is green waste, they absolutely love. So the more green waste you give them, the better. So when you get all of your, like your neighborhood cleanup and stuff, or you've got your farmer who's got something, they want the gas, they want the methane from it.
Oh, that's costing us a lot of money for those.
So Sherry, in answer to your question, they came in, gave the presentation to Sandy in November in the midst of an election. The election changed things, and the conversations just were slowed. You know, he's obviously back having conversations with Sandy, but there was a change in it.
Perfect.
The elected official. That's the only reason that the conversation.
How long does it take them to build it?
18 months.
How long would it take them to be operational?
18 months. From the date that we say, and all they need is they just, for them to make revenue, and they'll show you their books. They're actually a very transparent company, and they have to be because they're publicly traded, so it doesn't really matter anyway. They need about 90,000 tons a year minimum in order to grow. A nice thing about their facilities is that they're built modular. So all they have to do, if let's say that you know this area is going to grow, we're going to have more residents, they just build more of the drying boxes, and that's all it takes for them to expand their facilities. So their biggest facility, I think, takes 450,000 tons a year right now. And
so how big is that facility, like acreage-wise?
They need about 6 acres total for their facility. that's all they want.
That sounds great. Have you approached, like, because currently we, Wasatch Front is who picks up there. Have you approached Wasatch Front?
And I've talked to the executive director, Pam. And she's aware of it. She was open to it and excited to find out more. So she would be one of the individuals.
Yeah, she's not familiar with this company.
Yeah, because when I visited with her, she was concerned about a few things like that. Like, she doesn't understand. She didn't know how long you've been established, you know, all the fine details.
And that's the thing is that for me, I think the thing that's absolutely the best thing that could possibly happen is to invite the people that need to come out and actually tour their facilities. I need whoever, I don't know who your city attorney is, but
John
down there.
John?
Yeah.
In terms of the ethics for the city, is it permissible for the company to pay for the travel for the city to go toward the facilities? Does that create any conflict, or does that look bad?
I don't think we're going to be a decision maker.
If we're not paying for it, shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's one.
If they're not buying our,
it'd be the representation that we have on the board.
Nonetheless, but you guys still have to sell this to your residents,
right?
Absolutely. So, but as long as that's not, I don't want anything.
I see this so hard to sell to our residents that we're going to guarantee their trash rates don't go up, and we're going to get money back for our city from that trash. You have a real hard time selling that.
But to see it functioning, to see it functioning, and I am telling you, for 2 years, we pushed out information to our residents and a ton of it. And my question that I directly, asked Jeremy, this, you're still trying to overcome this misinformation of a burn plant. So to actually go and see it working is very valuable in terms of battling back what is just frankly misinformation and misunderstanding. They don't just accept it. They immediately grasp onto something that they, because it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
So then they naturally think, well, what's the downside of this?
Well, that's the thing is, the first thing I did when we did this is I took Russ, I don't know if you know Russ Wall or not, but I took Russ Wall out to go toward the facilities because I knew that if anyone could fact check this and make sure it's a good
one. He's certified in landfills.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
He's the real deal.
He was.
Yeah. And he's the biggest advocate in the world for this.
And
Russ desperately wants us to bring this to Utah.
And you've had quite a few legislators and whatnot go into it as well, so I don't see why it would be a bad thing for some of our staff and maybe a couple members of the council to go out and visit and see, so we really understand and comprehend what we're getting ourselves into. But,
sure.
But for now, it sounds amazing. I would hope that we could move forward and make that happen. So unless there's any disagreement from...
So,
are we wanting further discussion then?
Can you just clarify what you stated about the current landfill, like the cleanup for the prison? Is that a done deal, or that's...
They're working on it right now. They just barely did it's the inland harbor that
inland,
they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Inland Port Authority.
Yeah. So, yes. So they're in the plans. They're years out for getting that up and going. But the company that's part of the thing with the, we talked to the Speaker of the House and we've talked to the legislative groups about it, and so that'll hopefully happen, but.
And it would make sense that the same thing would happen at Transjordan right here.
Yes.
That we would just.
Well, yeah, my dream scenario would be for us to put this on some of the land at Transjordan.
Yeah.
The company will buy the land, they'll go in and they'll literally make the landfill go away.
Clean up as they're still processing what's currently would be.
And so
there.
Your obligation to pay for it and for the other cities and the political subdivisions goes away, and instead it replaces with revenue stream for you.
Yeah,
no. So, Jeremy, what I will do is I get your contact now. I'll make an arrangement with you and Sherry and Pam. We'll bring Pam in, then we'll take the board, and then how we work with the council and those who are interested in that toward the facility. And get educated upon fully, and see how we message this to the public.
And that's the thing is, so I want to make sure that I don't have any ownership in Hairoff. I wish I did, but unfortunately, I don't get to own billion-dollar companies. But I would like to, as a private citizen, offer to take you out there to go see. I think this is good for Utah. The nice thing is that we rarely get to lead out on environmental issues. It's just one of those things that Utah kind of rarely gets to do. This is huge for us.
It's not just huge for us, it's huge for Utah.
The
United States
for them.
It would be. And what's really funny is when I went and spoke with their CEO, about coming to Utah. He said, well, why do we want to go out to the West? You have all that land. Landfills aren't a problem. I said, oh, let me teach you. And so he came out here, and we took him on a tour of all our landfills. And like I said, I would love nothing more than Transjordan to go away.
Yeah, that sounds like a fabulous opportunity and a good solution to a continuing growing problem.
We could just pledge our trash to them, and so I think that's what they're asking us to do.
That's literally all they want. Take a trash pledge.
Yeah, and I think...
I am happy to sign a trash pledge.
No need to educate on recycling.
Because it does all of those things that we all want to participate in, but are expensive and effective. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Pam actually indicated that they're really seeing a big slide in the recycling participation.
Well, and it's not profitable on the
because people spending $700,000 a year just to get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Because people know that, again, it's not accomplishing what we thought it was going to.
Before we got deployed, I met with Brent Taylor with North Ogden, and Brent told me that 100% of the recyclables that they are of right now, they have no buyer for them. They're going to the landfills. There's nothing they can do about it. But that's, again, kind of one of those issues, is that we can change that. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. We're going to have to.
So I serve on the board.
She's on
that board.
Fantastic.
And so do you want me to reach out to Pam, or do you want to?
I'll reach out to her.
Okay.
And she is aware of this.
Yeah.
I think
you're
with
all of
that. That's not good. See, she's great worker, but she's looking for solutions to the problem with the transfer station closing. Diligently looking. That's where she's a great solution.
I do have a coffee kill with a heart on it. I can get that for you.
So, staff, do you have the direction that I need to move forward?
And if you can find out for me, call me tomorrow. I don't want the city to incur costs if we can avoid it. I'm happy to pay for the travel costs as long as it doesn't violate anything. And I want to be transparent and stuff.
Work through that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mayor.
Appreciate
it. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you.
You'll get a call from me tomorrow.
Thank you.
Did you get a card?
I did.
Yeah, we've all got cards.
It's an amazing solution.
I want a card like that.
I'm ecstatic.
And it works.
Okay, so.
I go back to the rest of the agenda.
Rest of the agenda? Great.
And then we'll come back.
Okay, so we'll go on to item 3.1, discussion to amend ordinances regarding committee membership. Wendy.
Okay, last week we brought this to you and we discussed making it consistent across the committees with a minimum number of volunteers as well as term lengths. So we started going through the committees, leader five, army three. I went with three members for the sole purpose that there are two committees that could probably get more than three. That's Trails and Arts. The rest of them are so limited in their volunteers that I just would hate to hold them to that number. And then we just went with 3 years across the board to be consistent as well. And people can be reappointed at the end of their three-year term. So that's what we've updated them all to be. Are there any questions or concerns about that?
The only question I had on there is there any concern, or does the council feel like there needs to be anything to help stagger those terms? Or what's your plan, I guess, is the better question, to ensure that there, some consistency continues there. So that we're not, appointing everybody all at the same time.
At the same time. John says that there's already some staggering.
We've already started the staggering.
Okay. So is something that needs
to
be spelled out in there for the staggering, or do we just let that occur naturally?
I think it's natural because I assume we have some rotation.
So what I'll have to do is go back through and check all the appointments for all the committees and get them on a calendar for a reappointment or making them
off. If we need staggering, put it this. Observation, because if you don't put in a policy, have to organically grow staggering. That's when people actually shut down and you lose that staggering.
That's really my question.
Yeah. So I think there might be some merit to create a staggered system in the policy.
It was in the Arts Council and we took it out to make them consistent.
Okay.
So we can put it back in.
Maybe just some generic language in there, John, that talks about staggering. And why we want it, but not have to define exactly what that staggering looks like, other than that that's something we need to accomplish on each committee.
Okay,
that's
a great suggestion.
Thank you for the work. Thanks, Wendy. Okay, we're on to item 3.2, Discussion pertaining to the animal control fee schedule. Justice.
So this one's pretty simple. This is just updating the fee schedule that the county's adopted, bringing it into an ordinance that the city has, just in that agreement it says we have to have their current fee schedule. As I look through it, you probably go to the next one. He's getting acting, making it happen.
He didn't want somebody walking off the thing.
Yeah, no, there's only a couple slides here anyway. So as you look, so the purpose of, we're going to bring a resolution the next council meeting for this fee schedule. So basically our agreement says that we have to have an ordinance that currently imposes, we have a license fee ordinance currently imposed by the county. So we basically, the agreement says we have to impose their same fees.
Compatible
with. So what we've done is we've taken the county's fees schedule and just put it in. We're going to have a resolution. We got their current one. The last one that we had on the books was 2009 fees. So we're just updating that to these fees, current fees now. So that's basically all this is about. I just want to know if you had any questions. The animal services would like to be here tonight, but they had a prior obligation. But with this next week, if you had any questions, I can take to them. But this one's pretty simple. Just bring their ordinance into our ordinance. And we're going to put the fee schedule this time. It was a recommendation by Jackie and John to actually put it into the city's master fee schedule so it's simple for our residents to find, not in an ordinance somewhere they have to look for. So that's it.
John, when you use the word compatible, what exactly is
about that much?
So
close. It doesn't have to be exact.
But we're pretty
but
much.
But why not? You know, there's no reason not to.
I guess the only question is thinking in terms of a resident oral as a council member, is somebody else gets to set that fee schedule, and as a council, I'm not saying that they're out of whack or anything, I'm just saying that we really have no say over what that fee schedule really is other than adopting what the county adopts.
Well, I think if we want to change a fee, I think I'd agree to that because it all has to be compatible.
But
I mean, that just creates an opportunity for confusion. Oh, where do you live and what's going to be your fee? And I think they're pretty fair on their fees. If they're not fair on their fees, we probably ought to be looking for someone else.
In fact, they did change a lot of methodology. This is the first time, how many years has it been? 18 years. And we actually used Ripton City for our animal services for a few years, and that was disastrous for us on response. And our residents want that response. So when we came back to the county, they organized, this is the first year we've actually had a number this early in the year to know what we're going to be paying. And so they're getting more fiscally responsible, I believe, and transparent. They've actually put together a board, I call it an operations board, and you see Justin presenting here. It's trying to meet some means I go to. He already does the deer thing, so we thought, okay, deer, dog, cats, all go together. So, but he's passionate about animals. So he loves them.
Yeah, I love them.
And he still loves the deer. He'll report next month on how successful that is. But with that said, he sits on that. So we'll have information come to us more frequently or early on.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Justin. We appreciate it. By the way, love your shirt today. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
By the way, I don't think that you two trying to create your own club and exclude everybody else is really kosher.
We're trying to get close. Jonathan's fairly close.
Well, it takes a particular hairstyle to really make it. So maybe.
Okay, then I'm out.
Then you're out. All right. So we'll move on to the next item, which is item 3.3, Rose Canyon Road Property Exchange with Unified Fire. Blake? Or Jonathan?
It's all right, I'm going to fill in for Blake today. I'm going to stand over here, if that's right.
Just as long as you have the clicker.
I have the clicker. So a couple of meetings ago, we brought this to council, and this presentation, for the most part, is a copy of that presentation, but we have some updates from then. So last time we met about this exchange, UFA's board approved their staff to move forward with working with Harriman City staff on making this happen. Additionally, we've met with UFA staff and we've discussed and tightened up a little bit more the terms of how this agreement might work out. So just to quickly summarize, so this is 7300 West, obviously, and this orange-yellow piece is the last piece of right-of-way that's, well, it's a piece of right-of-way that needs to be acquired. And this purple piece here, we were looking at potentially providing regional detention, including some roadway potential along Rose Canyon and future 7300 West. And so I flipped the north arrow on you, so now it's facing up. I kind of turned it a little bit. But the red parcel is USFA parcel, and then you have this green parcel right there that's Harriman City. And so now this next slide will show the road going through. And so the property exchange essentially would be this piece here, so this red piece and the roadway piece exchanged for a piece of this parcel owned by Harriman City. And again, this is all review, just kind of giving some updates. I have bad eyes, but the red right here, we just updated some areas, just getting a little closer and fine-tuned on our areas. UFA, land from UFA to Harriman is 1.36, if I recall, because I can't read that.
Yes.
And then,
I can't either, so.
Okay, good. And then from Harriman City to UFA, 0.62. And so when you work the numbers to that, let me back up. So this exhibit kind of shows what that would look like, essentially. Now, based on the appraisal, which has already been complete, Harriman City's parcel is assessed at $150 per acre, and UFA is $135,000 per acre. We've gotten started with some exhibits. We haven't got into the deeds. We are just getting ready to work on the interlocal agreement, but what we want to do is circle back with council and get some direction from you guys. So this is originally, this is another review from last time, but this is UFA saying, hey, this is how we would like to close the gap of the deficit that Harriman City has, and it's approximately $90,000 worth of a deficit. So we were wanting to close that gap with these terms that they sent to us. And the first one, approval for a wide access on 7300 West, we would do that anyway. We'd work with them and partner with them on that anyway. Shared offsite detention retention. We told them we would do that. It's feasibly actually not possible for them to use that new detention, but we would work with them with some other means to get that to happen. Now, this one right here, the Harriman to provide funds for improvements along Rose Canyon Road and 7300 West. That's where we wanted to kind of get into the details a little more with them. We've talked to them on what exact improvements we would look at that in exchange would come to a comparable price of that $90,000. So again, the property deficit that Harriman City would owe UFA after this exchange would be around that number. And that, just kind of explaining that, it's 1.36 acres at 135 and then 0.62 at 150.
And all of these items that you're talking about do roughly come up to the difference in cost. So they're really not, they're not asking for anything in excess of what the deficit is.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. And to point out, some of these items we would do anyway, at least for the approval of the wide access 7300 West, but you are correct. So these items we couldn't quite meet, and so I'm going to talk about in my next slide here, but we couldn't quite close that gap 100% with just this item alone. So what we did is, so they talked about sidewalk, it's around 20,500, landscape irrigation, about 17, lighting all the way down, to that lighting number, we couldn't quite get to the total, so we added in there just a couple culinary water stubs and then one sewer lateral, assuming that, because typically, you know, when we go in with the roadway, we're doing those improvements, we're probably going to do those as part and work with UFA in exchange for those funds, but of course, in this case, we would do them.
So it's a fair exchange at the end of the day.
It is. I need to know some of the back history on this, too. Many years ago, when Unified Fire was looking at this location at it, and I can't remember those days, they knew we had a desire to bring that road to their property. But they also know they wanted that site for a future possibility to serve that area, not only one for structured fires, but a great location for the wildlands. That's why the parcel was a little bit bigger. And all we had to do was going to put a road through the property, but when it worked out, we was able to use a piece of ours that's exchanged. So at the end of the day, they're not any more money or weaving. They have the parcel the size they need to stage up equipment that they want to run that property. So it's been a, I think they took it down about 7 years ago or so.
Nine.
Okay. It's been a while. So to get to this point, we're pretty excited. Plus, given our avenue, get the Rose Canyon people out of there in their avenue. We have another fire across the street or west. I know that doesn't make some people happy. That traffic, the reality, we don't want traffic in that area either.
Yeah, sure.
We had that evacuation. It really got plugged up right in that area. So we see that we're excited as a staff. A great resolution to all the problems. Not all the problems, most of the problems.
The other thing that's beneficial is we don't do these improvements because they're a number of years out before they're doing the fire station. So we're not building that road right now. So this all happens.
The cost is not being incurred in this fiscal year.
Right. And I believe this is still a number of years out before they build that station.
It's low on priorities, but they want to secure land way before.
Right, but we don't have to do the improvements until they build the station.
I guess it's probably at least 8 to 10 years out.
So 8 to 10 years, I would like to know the city council remember we owe them.
We'll find out tomorrow. We'll meet the chief. We'll kind of ask.
Will you send us an annual reminder?
Yeah, that's.
So they're acceptable to all of this.
So meeting with,
in theory,
that's correct. So meeting with Cynthia Matthews, staff of UFA, she's reviewed this. She's reviewed this information, this proposal, and she said that she's super amenable to it. Now this is staff. It's my understanding that they want to go to the board.
Right.
When we get to the interlocal drafted. So it's kind of up to us now to draft that agreement. And then send it to the board.
You have my nod to move forward with it.
So what I want to mention to Mayor and Council, just getting on from you, is that we want to actually put this information into a newsletter, sort of communicating to the public. How positive this is for us.
Yeah.
My head is nodding.
Jonathan, that is name goes.
Seeing the writing on the
board. 20th is coming up.
Okay.
Just kind of summarize this information.
You bet.
Yes, this one.
Okay.
Mark. Yeah, you got 6 days.
Go. That's actually a lot of time, typically.
Basically,
right, Kenny.
This information, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
anything
bet.
Else?
Easy enough.
Supported. Nicole?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Jerry? Welcome, Councilman Henderson. All right, so moving on, engineering standards update. I'm going to assume that we're going to have you do this one as well.
If that's all right, yes.
Please.
This is the most riveting part of the day for you guys. We're going to talk about the standards. We're going to go through each section one by one.
I'm going to
take a quiz at the end.
Can I just give you my nod right now?
No, you have to.
Okay.
The flow charts are just going to be ecstatic.
That's right. So what I wanted to do, so we are in the process right now of an update to the engineering standards, but I wanted to provide just a quick overview and background and some overview and a looking forward to what we're doing.
You'll have to adopt, and that's why we're trying to do this. Yes. We could bring you all 300 pages, or you're going to get seconds.
This is great.
So as all of you know, so the ordinance and the standards together help us govern how we require, we imply requirements on developers and any other entity that comes in for a project here at the city, including ourselves. Now, the current edition of the standards, the most current edition is dated February 2011. And since then, there's been some gathering of Harriman City staff and departments who have kind of gathered services, maybe some items of consideration that we can adjust here and adjust there. Additionally, there's been some recent legislation and state rules that have come out that have some implications on our standards, as well as, let's see here, so we also have, well.
Is that approval times that you're referring to in terms of legislation?
Yeah, so we'll
plan
get
approval.
I didn't even mention that, but that is one. Thank you, Nicole. And we'll kind of touch on something kind of related to that as well. So as a result, we've procured a consultant to help us get in the trenches with us and help us through this. And we intend to be completed with the draft for your review, the entire thing toward before the end of this fiscal year. And like Gordon said, it will require your approval And so we obviously want your attention to this at a certain capacity, obviously, as we go through this. So what we thought we would do, instead of blasting you in the end with just one and say, hey, study this, and we'll get back and we'll go yay or nay, we thought that periodically, at the discretion of City Council, and Gordon will work together on scheduling some times, we meet periodically and say, hey, here's some key items to look at, thoughts, and then in the end we'll send everything to you.
That's great. That's a good idea.
Well, there's other ways we could do it. I thought that'd be a good way to go about it. So what I thought I'd do is just give three just highlights on a few things that have come up. This rule has actually been since 2011, but it's not super recent, but they've required engineers, the city, to ensure that every development, any project that comes into the city is hydraulically modeled. Right now, that does require a lot of work on city staff, and so we've asked the developers to assist us with this as they come in, and so we work hand in hand. So that's one item we've been working to address in our standards. And then, so this is one item that came out actually in 2016, specifically with regards to the timing of building permits. Before, the way the procedure would go is we would require them to be substantially complete with all public improvements prior to them being able to get or apply for a building permit. And so now with the legislation, again, this is effective 2016, says as long as they have their essential infrastructure, so two items have to have essential infrastructure, and then bonded for the items that they didn't complete this public infrastructure, they can move along to apply for a building permit. So what we're trying to do is facilitate that within our standards. So that's another item. Lastly, we also, just recently, we adopted some Harriman City standards that has some implications on the planning department and the engineering department, that is as well, on how we go through the procedure. So essentially
you're adding like the community meetings and stuff though.
As well, yep,
yeah.
That's right. And we have, there's some jargons that are a little different now. We have a preliminary plat application review, and we're going to actually, Gordon spoke to this very quickly, but we're going to talk about this as my assumption in the future in a little more detail. But this is one item that we're going to touch on as well. So looking forward, we want to come back and do some brief discussions with City Council, kind of keep you pretty of things as we're moving along. In hopes that sometime in the summer, seek approval from City Council. And then what we want to also do is look forwards, because I think as time goes on, there's a lot of reasons and needs to take a look at some adjustments to the standards right now, because I think there was such a big gap. This is a pretty monumental task for us to update it. And so what we're looking at is, hey, let's take a look potentially at maybe doing this a little more often, and we bring these to you in smaller chunks as opposed to, hey, it's been 7 years, let's make a big change. So that's just a thought that the engineering department is proposing, but that's obviously something we can talk about a later time, but just some thoughts for you guys, and that's about any questions?
Well, I'm very supportive of the regular overview.
Okay.
You know, the standards are so important. I think just as an aside, I mean, nothing's more frustrating than when you spend money and you put time into a project. You want that project to have been put in right, and that it has some generational lasting to it, that you're spending the taxpayer money in a smart way. So making sure that the policymakers understand what's going on, and then certainly that the staff is in tune, everybody's in tune with each other is really important. So I really think this is a good approach.
Thank you.
You still have a job. Keep working.
Yes.
Of course.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Awesome. Jonathan, you are.
That is a nice way to have job security, though. Regular.
Yeah,
by
your shot.
Don't say that.
You're in high demand right now. You're
I got to start being nice to Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
That wouldn't feel right.
All right, moving forward.
Just made my eye twitch.
Moving forward, we'll go ahead and get the rest of the city manager updates for Brett.
Okay. So we did the solid waste. A real fun thing. I won't tell you the boring. Well, it's good stuff. So the trust mayors wear this. We learned from the trust. We have our workers' comp insurance and stuff provided to insure our properties. But we, again, been awarded our TAP award, and we get that by the programs we do here to create a safe work environment, training, those type of things. They measure us. So we got a check for $3,700, $3,667. I don't know where Alan's going to spend that 50 cents, so I'm sure we'll put it back in the general fund.
But I think that goes a long way to saying how awesome staff is for doing what they need to do to maintain safe work environment.
So another thing that's happened is I didn't know what big a process it was. I was asked if I'd be interested in serving on that Rio Tinto Kennecott investment committee. Apparently the board members have to accept your acceptance on the board. Like a club or something, but what they do is they get investment dollars from Rio Tinto, and then the committee helps decide where it's going to be spent. And I've been selected to be just, they've accepted me, so
yeah. They accepted your acceptance?
Yes.
Excellent.
We're all accepted. But it allows me to have an art form to keep our partnership with them and stay close to the what's going on, so I felt like it was important you know that, and I just got word about what we're spending some money on. Now that committee, they're going to do a new tour facility. Instead of having it up at the site, they will shuttle people back and forth, so they're not, you know, if they've been or slide up there. So it's exciting stuff, and then I'll give you updates as that comes about. And the last, and it's, we don't ever have a last one. But I have to toot Herman's horn.
Toot away.
So I've asked Alan, this is Kevin, not really aware of this, Neers, her team, Mitch and Destiny and John. They do a rock solid job, and I get worried because we're out there about, you have rock stars here. If you don't know that, we do have rock stars. We have people. Anybody male wants to put one of our people away, because they're too far north, that's a good thing. But I want to show you the video they put together about the Yeti.
Oh, I'm excited.
There's more to come.
Oh, yeah.
But this was
and they can see us online, right?
Yes, did you guys see?
You've got to push our events out there, and guess what? They start finding we have it's part of our communications team, marketing team. They kind of do a little of everything, or the art, push the word out. But you need to be very proud of who you are, and we are talked about out there about a good way about what our team does. So, Tammy, I'm sorry I'm going to embarrass you, Mitch, you left, and I'm Destiny and John, they're doing a great job.
Yes,
and Mitch was offered a job.
Didn't leave it. Turned it down. Turned it down. Well, and obviously communications is my game. So I can say authoritatively that we do communications very well here. The top, you know, within the top three. And when I start rattling down
I've really moved Sandy down the list. you've moved above Sandy now.
But you're not biased.
You're not biased at all. So you should, you know, right there at the top. No, you really do a really fine job. Very creative, very well done, very professional.
Great team.
A good team, very absolutely.
But it just makes it so fun to be a part of this team here and what they do. I mean, I'm just like, it's crazy. It's fun. A smile on your face, and they got more to come. The next one, you'll enjoy watching it. So,
the master plan is a really good one too. That's the one you're gonna have to see.
That's the one that we had talked about, where it's, you know, you ask for these things.
Yeah. Yeah, so, when you see that one, that's probably the best one.
As soon as we're ready for another general plan meeting,
we had another one that's 5 or 6 minutes long, but we just want to get the message across to you. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. Well done.
So we've got about a half hour. Do we want to take a break, or do we want to go into close?
Close. That's my vote. I just want a lot of looks.
Well,
I'm not going to
argue with that.
We do have.
Do you want to go to close now, or do you want?
Done sooner.
I'm good with the two.
We have three items, all three reasons to be in close tonight. So I don't think we'll have all three and a half hours hold.
Let me do mine first.
All right, let's go.
I'll
I'm open to a motion.
I'll
make a motion to close. Motion to temporarily recess the city council work meeting to convene in closed session for the purpose to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual pending or reasonable imminent litigation and the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property is provided by the Utah Code annotated 53-4-205.
Second.
Okay. So we have motion and second. Is that okay?
We'll call
Jared?
Yep.
Sherry?
Gordon?
Yes. I vote yes.
I go? Okay. So,